WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Writer William Burroughs died over the weekend. He was 83. Best known for his 1959 book Naked Lunch, he came to the attention of younger generations through his appearances in TV commercials and the accolades offered to him by rock musicians from Steppenwolf to Sonic Youth. In 1995, Rhino Records reissued Burroughs' first recording, a collection of readings entitled Call Me Burroughs. Our rock critic Ken Tucker reviewed the collection. Here's William Burroughs reading from his novel, Naked Lunch.
Drove all night, came at dawn to a warm, misty place, barking dogs and the sound of running water. Thomas and Charlie, I said. What? That's the name of this town. Sea level. We climbed straight up from here 10,000 feet. I took a fix and went to sleep in the back seat. She was a good driver, you can tell as soon as someone touches the wheel. Mexico City, where Lupita sits like an Aztec earth goddess, doling out her little papers of lousy shit. Selling is more of a habit than using, Lupita says. Non-using pushers have a contact habit, and that's one you can't kick. Agents get it, too. Take Bradley, the buyer. Best narcotics agent in the industry. Anyone would make him for junk. I mean, he can walk up to a pusher and score direct. He is so anonymous, gray, and spectral, the pusher don't remember him afterwards. So he twists one after the other. Well, the buyer comes to look more and more like a junkie. He can't drink. He can't get it up. His teeth fall out. He's all the time sucking on a candy bar. Baby Ruth's, he digs special. It really disgusts you to see the buyer sucking on them candy bars so nasty, a cop says. The buyer takes on an ominous gray-green color. Fact is, his body is making its own junk or equivalent. The buyer has a steady connection. A man within, you might say, or so he thinks. I'll just set in my room, he says. Them all, squares on both sides. I am the only complete man in the industry. But a yen comes on him like the great black wind through the bones. So the buyer hunts up a young junkie and gives him a paper to make it. Oh, all right, the boy says. So what you want to make? I just want to rub up against you and get fixed. Ugh, well, all right, but why can't you just get physical like a human?
When William Burroughs recorded Call Me Burroughs in the mid-60s, he was the pork pie hat of the avant-garde, a button-down man spewing wild stuff, revelatory in its incoherence. He was closely identified with the Beat Movement, with Allen Ginsberg and Jack Kerouac, but all Burroughs really shared with them was an alienation from straight society and a regular urge to get high. He liked surrealist imagery and borrowed the Dadaist trick of creating some of his texts by cutting up words and phrases from pre-existing prose. But at the same time, Burroughs has always been an all-American writer. One of his shrewdest borrowings is from the hard-boiled detective novels of Raymond Chandler, whose tone of flat malice he captures perfectly in The Fish Poison Con.
I was traveling with Merritt Incorporated, checking store attendance for larceny with a crew of shoppers, and Bob Schaefer, crew leader, who was an American fascist with Roosevelt jokes. It happens in Iowa, this number comes over the car radio. Old sow got caught in the fence last spring. And Schaefer said, oh, my God, are we ever in Hicksville? Stopped that night in Pleasantville, Iowa, and our tires gave out. We had no tire rations during the war for such a purpose. And Bob got drunk and showed his badge to the locals in a roadhouse by the river. And I ran into the sailor under a potted palm in the lobby. We hit the local croakers with the fish poison con.
Like the best hard-boiled writers, Burroughs knew that you can imply worlds of emotion if you keep your voice steady while describing terrible things. There's also an element of deadpan comedy in a lot of Burroughs' work. It's what keeps the less attractive aspects of his ideas, his violent misanthropy, his cheap cynicism, from turning too sour.
My trouble began when they decided I was executive timber. It happens like this. A big blonde driller from Dallas picked me out of the labor pool to be his houseboy in a prefabricated bungalow. and in solid. When this friend come down from New York, the driller says, this is the boy I was telling you about. Friend looks me over, chewing his cigar, and says, what are you doing over there with the apes? Why don't you come over here with the board where you belong? And he slips me a long, slimy look. Friend works for the track news agency. We don't report the news, we write it. And next thing I know, they have trapped a gray flannel suit on me, and I am sent to this school in Washington to learn how this writing the news before it happens is done. I suss it as the Mayan caper with an IBM machine. I don't want to be caught short in a gray flannel suit when the lid blows off.
William Burroughs recorded in 1965. He died over the weekend at the age of 83.